This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Number 348 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Yo, what up?
What up indeed?
So TV show wise, there was not a lot to watch.
No, I was actually looking at it, and I think that I watched four shows that are current, and then two, you know, some episodes of a couple shows that are old ones.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, because we finished up, you know, with Last of Us and Poker Face last week.
Yep.
No Ghosts, no CSI.
Nope.
Obviously, Young Rock has been done for a while. I mean, yeah, so.
I did not watch Night Court this week.
I did. You did not miss out on anything.
I figured I didn't. I kept looking and going, no. I'm okay.
Yeah, I've actually almost gotten to the point where I'm like, I guess it's going to be a pass.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but no. I just can't find myself dedicating time to it.
Yeah. So I guess Abby's going to run a marathon. So her boyfriend, her fiance shows up.
Oh, we actually get to meet him?
We do. I didn't really recognize him. Actor-wise. Okay. You know what I mean?
I'm going to go look him up.
It's Pete Holmes.
Oh. Okay.
It's Pete Holmes.
Oh. Yeah, I don't like Pete Holmes. Yeah. I've never been a fan of his. Some people love his comedy, and for me, he's a big miss. Like, I'm not a fan of his particular brand of comedy.
So she gets Olivia to do the marathon with her.
Because, you know, that's the thing that people do. They're just like, I've decided I'm going to do a marathon and I'm going to recruit my friend. Most people train all year to do a marathon.
Well, not only do they not train all year, but they try to train like they're going to, you know, like they try to make up for it. So they overdo it and they don't even make it to the first mile.
Good.
And that's that.
Not that I want to see them fail, but I'm glad that they added in that level of realism that, you know, you don't just walk in.
Right. Dan's big story is that he's losing his mind because the courthouse plans to remove a bench that he likes. Yeah.
Just a bench?
Well, you know, in the end, he's like, after I won my first court case, I carved my initials in this bench. And so it's sentimental to me. But of course, he doesn't admit that from the beginning. He has to be absurd and over the top and ridiculous leading up to the big reveal.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I mean, you could watch it. It's 22 minutes. You could throw it on the background while you're doing something else, but
I could probably put it on in the background while we're talking about this podcast and I would get just as much out of it.
The problem is like, I don't really have, I'm going to say I don't have background shows anymore. I don't really have background shows anymore, like, because I don't have the time to have a show on the background. Like when I work midnight shift at communications, I could have a TV show on my, you know, going on my tablet while I was working, and, you know, kind of have that as a background show. Or like, you know, like when you're working from home, you can do that. Or like when you're working on the treadmill, or, you know, or I don't know if you still do that or not, but back in the day when you were on the treadmill, you had your treadmill shows or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, like, I don't really have a background show type of thing going on.
No, I don't really either. And I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah. And if I do, it's like something that I've seen 1,800 million times.
Yes. Like, I like to fall asleep with a TV on at night. Julia does not, so we've compromised. Yeah. I put it on my phone on a little stand next to the bed, and I have a headband that has speakers in it. It's Bluetooth, so I can listen to it. She doesn't hear a thing. There's just the glow of the TV screen. But yeah, it's always like American Dad or Family Guy, you know, something that's mindless that I've seen a million times that I can just fall asleep to.
Yep. Yeah, no, and I get exactly what you're talking about. For me, for us, it's like when we have a background show going on, it's like How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory, Friends, just, you know, something that Kate or I have seen 100,000 times, and we're good to go.
Yep.
The Conners was good again this week. Again, they're not really doing some mind-blowing story. Storyline wise is just a situation comedy with the familiar people.
That's where you're going to stop that? Didn't you send me a text that said, please watch the Conners this week? Oh, you only have to do the first 5 minutes, which I clocked it. And it was about 5 minutes and 30 seconds after.
Okay.
I was like, I know exactly why he wanted me to watch this. And I actually watched it in bed with Julia. Like, I put on the TV. I was like, he wants me to watch this. So you're going to watch it with me so that you can see if, and I knew exactly what it was. She's heard the story, and so we talked about it. But then she was like, can we stop watching this now? And I'm like, yeah, we can stop watching this now.
So Darlene is hyper-controlling and obsessive and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she was going away for work for the weekend. So she left her husband and daughter and sister who lives with her, Becky, notes on things that she wanted done around the house. And so she
everywhere.
Left sticky notes. Everywhere on everything. It was absurd. Like, you look at the shot and they're literally, there's like a sticky note on every little thing around the house. And so for Becky's
sure looked familiar.
Revenge, she left sticky notes on everything around the house. But it was like, this is the trash can. This is, you know, it was with all sarcastic notes about this.
There was one on the chair yourself. That said, when you want to take a load off, you can use this to sit.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And I died laughing only because of our time at Movie Gallery and Jerry, the short-lived store manager, Jerry.
Yes.
Because he one time, like, we rolled in and he, like, we walked in one door as he walked out the other. And he was, which is just, like, absurd. Like, just, oh, you're here, I'm leaving. Like, we're not signed in, no cashed into our draws, no nothing. Just, he walked out. Hold on. I feel like I'm going to sneeze. All right, there it is.
Are you?
I did. And we found sticky notes on everything, like, of what he wanted us to do that night. And it was just like, are you serious? Like, we were not offended, annoyed. And so before we left that night, we left sticky notes on everything. Like, put these movies, like, these movies need to be put away. This is your office. Put your key here. I staple things, you know, like
the thermostat was, you know, adjust the heat with me.
Yeah. We put a lot of sticky notes all over the place. And then when we got in the next day, again, he was walking out the other door. He just goes, okay, guys, got the message. And he just left. He just left. Yeah, so I thought that was funny because it hit close to home. I've never seen that bit anywhere before.
Yeah, it was. I knew as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is why he wanted me to watch this, because this doesn't happen anywhere else.
No, no. I mean, that was the events I'm talking about unfolded like in the year 2000. In the year 2000. That was a throwback. Late night with Conan O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, kind of like, I guess this is a background show. I'll have this on while I'm looking at my phone or playing cribbage on my computer instead of.
So you do have a background show.
But I am half paying attention. Kind of the same thing with How I Met Your Father.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm as interested. Like, so for me, it is slightly interesting, but mostly we got a tease that Barney was in an upcoming episode, and I just want to see how that plays out with Barney.
Still? I thought they've been teasing that for a while now.
They teased it like in episode one, and then there's been no payoff since then. So unless this is like the goat for the birthday party in the bathroom, we never get an explanation to it, except they did show us Barney. So but we shall see.
We picked up, like I said, you know, we ended a lot of shows. We finished out You and Poker Face and The Last of Us. In fact, we were both quite sad that Sunday came around and we didn't have an episode of The Last of Us to look forward to. It's kind of become a Sunday night thing. You know, we get all ready, we get into bed, and we watch The Last of Us, and we didn't have that. So we ended up going back to Doctor Who. And
okay, good. That's a good fallback.
It is. It is. So we had left off on The Husbands of River Song, which was the first of two Christmas episodes that Peter Capaldi had in between Jenna Coleman exiting. So, you know, we had that one.
Yes.
And then we had the follow-up, which was The Return of Dr. Mysterio, where we see Nardole is back. That's the one where the little kid takes the gemstone and thinks that it's medicine, so he swallows it, and he ends up getting superpowers. And so, you know, we kind of have like a Superman thing where he's the nanny for the girl that he's been crushing on since grade school, and but he's also the superhero that she is in love with because she's a reporter. Like, it's really a Superman story.
Yes.
It was a good Christmas episode, though. It was fun. It was goofy. Right. It was kind of stupid, but, you know, fun. And then we did two. We did The Pilot and Smile, both with Bill. So the university, Nardole again, loving Nardole. I just love Nardole. we've learned that there's that the doctor is supposed to stay on Earth because he's taken an oath to guard a vault that's under the university. And he takes Bill off to the future. They see the city that's made by robots, and they all want you to smile. And if you don't smile, then they kill you. And then at the end, they warp back and they think they're back there, but instead they're on the frozen Thames with an elephant. And, you know, that'll be the next episode. It's fun getting caught up. there was a thing that I saw the other day, and I can't remember what it was, but I basically, it was so good that I had to show Julia. It was a TikTok, and I was like, look, I have to break this for you because you may end up seeing it anyway. But, and I told her about how at the end of Whitaker, for some reason, the doctor regenerates into David Tennant. I was like, nobody knows why. We're all trying to figure it out. But for some reason, the doctor is David Tennant again. And so she now knows that. So she, in that respect, she's caught up with the rest of us. But we're still going through all of Capaldi, all of Whitaker. And then, you know, when the new episodes start this fall, we'll be all caught up. But just in case things start popping up, you know, in the news, in news feeds and stuff, she now knows. So that's...
But I know you didn't explain the fact that it's not... That he's the 14th doctor, though. So he's right. A new doctor who looks...
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like the 11th doctor, so...
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember what the content was, but it was a TikTok that was done so perfectly. And I was just like, yes, I have to show you this, and I have to explain it to you. So, yeah. Nice. So we did that. We also went back to, because, again, not a lot of shows, so we went back to the second season of Only Murders in the Building. Because we had done the whole first season, and we were like, okay, we need to stop for a little bit, take a breather. And now we're back on it. They're about half an hour each. It's a great show. Steve Martin, Martin Short are awesome. Selena Gomez is phenomenal. Second season, first episode, we got hit with Amy Schumer as a recurring guest star and Cara Delevingne as a recurring guest star. So already the season's shaping up very well. Went from one murder to another. It's a good show. It really is. It's a fun one for people who like true crime podcasts, who like the comedy stylings of Steve Martin and Martin Short, knowing that Martin Short plays a very neurotic, self-absorbed theater kind of guy. So basically Martin Short.
Yes, he plays Martin Short.
Yeah.
Did you see that they're coming to Portland to the Merrill Auditorium?
I did not.
In the fall. Yeah, Steve Martin, Martin Short in the fall. Tickets start at $149.
Wow. That's the starting?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So Mike will not be attending.
They command that kind of thing because they've been doing this for so many years. I get it. But holy crap. Do they know what the economy's like right now?
Well, the fact that literally everyone and everybody seems to be out touring right now. Or yeah. Announced tours for this year. Because now, you know, it's like, oh, we're a couple years past COVID. So like everybody's out touring. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I've only got a couple shows left to talk about.
I have four, possibly.
Okay. Quantum Leap.
Yes. Yeah, Quantum Leap, The Mandalorian, Picard, and did you sign up for Apple and get Ted Lasso?
I have not watched any Ted Lasso yet.
Okay, then I'm not going to say what happened, but I will say that we watched the first episode that is back.
And, are they only doing one a week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of Apple TV, I just want to talk about this real quick. I was going to send you a message earlier, and I was like, no, I'm going to talk to him about this. So remember how they had that whole thing where they said that Paramount and Showtime are merging, and yes. They're going to be called Paramount Plus with Showtime?
Yeah.
So I looked today on my account because I was trying to find any updates. They said that it was going to happen in March, and I haven't seen anything. And so I looked at my account, and I do the Paramount Premium yearly. So it's $100. And then I had a discount code in there for 25% off. So it's at, 25% off 1 year. And then they had the option to change it to Paramount Plus with Showtime. And they had the basic or the premium. And basic is the one with ads and premium is the one without ads. Both of them were the exact same price of $119.99 a year. So $20 more per year. And they said, if you do this, then we'll take whatever money you put towards this and we'll apply it towards that. And then next year you'll pay the full amount. Have you seen or heard anything else? Do you do the premium tier or do you do the basic tier?
So I do the premium. I prepaid for a year in January. It was $99.99.
Okay. Mine was March.
Oh, like as in just March happened 4th. March?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So at that time in January – for the Showtime, it was, I think it was $149.
Okay.
For the year. So $50 more. So I did not do that.
Okay.
At that time. And I haven't heard anything since then. I keep waiting to see what it is.
Yeah. So it's $119.99 to get Paramount Plus with Showtime. But like I said, the basic or the premium is the exact same price, which seems very odd to me.
I essential, it's called essential and premium.
Yeah, there you go. But you see that both of them are the same price.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. And essential is, it says if you switch plans, your account will be charged for premium with Showtime for the remaining of the billing cycle. Any unused portion of your current plan will be applied towards this payment. Any free trial or discount may automatically end. If the new payment is not eligible, going forward, your account will be charged $119.99 a year plus tax on any recurring basis in beginning January 19th, 2024. So for $20 more, I could add Showtime.
Yeah. If you're looking at your account, though, and you see what you're paying, do you see the thing that says first year's discount, 25% or annual discount?
I don't have that, no.
Okay.
I didn't have a discount plan, so I just had – it just says current plan, $99.99 a year, stream commercial free, except live TV and a few shows. And then premium Showtime, best value.
Yep. So I'm wondering if that's the thing. Like, are we just going to, like, starting this next billing cycle, is that going to be the only option? You're paying $120 and you're getting Showtime and Paramount.
It might be if you're going to do the annual plan, yeah.
At this point, $20 a year is not bad when you're already paying $100. Like,
yeah.
Like, basically, it's what, $1.30 or something a month?
Yeah, it's not much at all.
So, I mean, it's not, I might actually update that and then I'd have access to Yellow Jackets, which I
can't. It's $1.66.
Okay. I can't turn on my news feed without seeing something about Yellow Jackets lately. Apparently there are two episodes into the second season.
Yeah.
It's supposedly phenomenal.
Yeah, people really seem to love it.
Mm-hmm.
People really, really seem to love it.
So we're not going to talk about Ted Lasso for now, but we've got three shows. Did you have any other shows, or is it just those three?
Yeah, I watched the first episode and a half of Daisy Jones and the Six.
How's that?
It's decent. It's like a VH1 Behind the Music type thing, except there's no narration, but it's a document. It's like there's this band that got real big in the 70s. It opens up by saying, like, you know, Daisy Jones and the Six sold out Soldier Field for an unbelievable concert, blah, 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 in 1977. And they never played it together again.
Mm.
And then it's like 20 years later, and now someone's interviewing them, and we're going back in time to the 70s to see how, like, the band started, how they met, the music they played along the way, the steps they took along the way, et cetera, et cetera. It's decent. Like, the music is all original music, and some of it's pretty damn good. You know, that 70s styles rock and roll type music and everything.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Not so, like, phenomenally interesting that I've burned right through it, but I watched the first episode and a half, and I enjoyed it, but I got on a movie kick this past week.
Okay.
And I'll talk about that later in the movies department.
Great.
So when I say check it out, yeah, it's worth checking out.
Okay.
I will go back and finish it at some point. I just really felt like watching movies instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it because there were a lot of good movies, or was it just that you were like, no, I don't feel like watching this show. I feel like watching something that takes an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Well, I just kind of felt like watching something takes an hour and a half, 2 hours. No. no, I just decided to watch movies. I don't know. Like, I'd watched a lot of movies in the past. Like, usually, like, I love horror movies, obviously. So I've rewatched a lot of horror movies over the last, say, few years. I've watched rewatched a lot of 80s, 90s, 70s horror movies, been on, like, comedy kicks, action, martial arts kicks, sci-fi kicks, obviously watching new movies along the way. But one category or genre, I guess, I haven't really revisited is, like, crime dramas.
Okay.
Or crime thrillers. And I thought, oh, let's watch some of these. And I kind of got a little hooked in.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and these were all kind of from the 90s. So.
Okay.
But I'll talk about those in the movie section, because there's one, sure. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
So Quantum Leap.
Yeah. What did you think?
I felt like there was a shit ton going on. It was more filler after we had that great episode last week, you know, mm-hmm. with SOS, and we ended up seeing the other Leaper in there, and, you know, they kind of hand waved it off in this episode where they were like, he's like, oh, I don't want him to pop up again. And they're like, don't worry, we've now got a tracker to always know when he's going to pop up. Okay. So they'll be on it next time. Great. I felt there was a lot going on with all the different cases that his public defender was supposedly taking. And I know that it's supposed to be an accurate representation because, you know, they do take on way too many cases, and that's why they get burned out so easily. But mm-hmm. You know, it just seemed like every time you turned around, there was this person was, you know, I need your help. And she obviously does a good job of it because they all want her help. But
yeah, there was a lot going on in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So it kind of became hard to keep track of the main case.
Yeah.
Also, Jen was sent to the imaging chamber instead of Addison because.
Yeah. What's up with all these like different. I'm going to say holograms, but, you know, different companions. You know, in the original run, we just had Al.
Right.
And
right.
Now we've seen multiple people going in the imaging chamber.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if this is kind of touching on that and saying, you know, in the original series, there should have been an entire team running this. But, you know, they only had the two actors, essentially.
But it makes sense because, like, in this episode, Jen has experience as a lawyer.
Yep.
So her going in there, she'd be more equipped to help him than Addison would be because of her experience.
And it was nice that they also spoke. This show does a very good job of getting ahead of the nerd questions for the most part. Well, why do we just have two people in all the time? Oh, because see, it glitches out and they can't maintain a signal when there's two of them in there.
Yeah. So I enjoy the show. Glad I caught back up. I agree with you. There was so much going on in this episode. You know, I like that Ben has his scruples where he's like, hey, you know what? I could prevent this guy's brother from dying. He'd only spend 5 years in jail and then I could leap. And instead he's like, no. Mm-hmm. I need to do the right thing. And if I get stuck here, I get stuck here.
Yes.
Because that's that Sam Beckett sense of what's right and what's wrong and everything.
Right. Yeah, and it was a very noisy, very busy episode, but, you know, in traditional sense, it had a happy ending. We moved the story a few notches forward. Jen got a chance in the imaging chamber to kind of break out of her mold, which, you know, she needed to do that a little bit. And, now we're ready for the next episode, which is apparently available now. By the way, we're recording on Tuesday night instead of Monday night.
Yes, I had to work last night. I've also noticed that there's a lot of I've already seen a lot of headlines about, oh, blah, 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 Quantum Leap. This, I'm not going to give things away in case you haven't seen the same headlines, but basically the clickbait headlines giving away something that happened in the episode.
Oh, good.
Then, so that's fun.
Yeah, I will avoid that.
Yeah, so that's fun. And also, I think it was 7 years ago yesterday, we posted our first episode.
Wow, 7 years. Seems like longer, doesn't it?
I don't know.
2016?
Yeah. But yeah, so that's fascinating. That's fascinating. That's a long time. Excuse me. So do you want to talk about Picard and Mando at the end?
Or yeah, we can
just going to say it's been long enough because it was last Thursday and Wednesday and it's Tuesday now. So,
yeah, I think it's been long enough.
All right. Mandalorian. Let's talk about that. What did you think of the episode?
So I didn't like the format that they used because basically, and without getting into the detail, we'll do that in a minute, but basically they started the episode with the Mandalorian and Bo-Katan, and then we have a firefight, and then they're like, we need to escape. I know where we'll go, and they blast off in hyperspace. And then the show completely shifts gears to other characters completely and has a completely different story that wraps up, and then when that wraps up, like, this was a bottle story. As soon as this wraps up and it is done, then we switch back to them and they're landing at their destination and finishing out their story. I didn't like that. I don't know if this was an experimental thing where they were like, let's test it out, or, you know, have this be an in the meantime while they're in hyperspace. I would have rather seen like two separate stories, you know, two separate episodes, or, you know, an interspersing where it's like we flip back and forth. But I was not a fan of the way that it just suddenly changed. Like, you're right in the middle of this big high tense thing. They're like, let's escape. And they escape. And then it just switches gears to completely different people, completely different story, completely different pacing. And then just as that one gears up and you're like, oh my God, we reached the climax, bam, we switch right back to the original story. And you're like, fuck, I forgot we had this original story. So what did you think of that?
I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it because instead of it being interspersed, you got to focus on one story at a time. I thought with opening with Bo-Katan, the Mandalorian, escaping Mandalore or whatever, and then going back to her play, then they had the firefight. And they go back to her home, which is destroyed, and then they escape. He's like, I'll send you the coordinates. They won't find us. And then they jump.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, we got that story. And then we got the whole middle part of the episode was the story of Dr. Pershing.
Yes.
And him trying to work with the New Republic. You know, he's been pardoned. He's been rehabilitated. He's been assigned a number, not a name. And it's the whole story of him joining the New Republic and trying to make up for what happened to the Empire and work
for
them.
It turns out that there's a lot of people who are doing that.
Yeah, he runs into Kane, who's also part of this program. But I can't figure out what her motive is, because she persuades him and talks him into like pursuing his cloning, his cloning research, because that's what's mm-hmm. really good for the New Republic. And isn't that what we're here for? Look how much this would help the New Republic if you did this. So she basically coerces him into doing it, making him feel like, oh, it's the right thing to do. It's going to help the New Republic, helps him break onto this destroyer there to steal the portable lab so he can continue his work, and on and on and on. And then they get arrested by the police or the New Republic Guard or whatever. And then mm-hmm. she essentially reveals that, oh no, she's works for them. She was undercover. And then he gets hooked into a machine where he's like, this is going to wipe my mind. And they're like, oh, no, not on low voltage. It's just going to help, rehabilitate you. And so they turn the machine on. And then when everyone leaves, she cranks it up on high. So was she getting revenge on him for something that I wasn't aware of? Was she? I don't know.
I feel like she is still, air quotes, loyal to the Empire, or at least loyal to Moff Gideon.
Yeah.
Even though he's gone. I feel like she's loyal to him. And so she was punishing this guy. It could also be that, the work that he wanted to do is against the law for the New Republic. Like, they outlawed cloning
right
back when the Empire was still a thing. And they're still holding to that. They're like, no, cloning is illegal. So it could be that she was just testing him and trying to see if he was honestly. The way that she dialed it up, she really had a vendetta.
Well, but she wasn't testing him. She was persuading and pushing and pushing and pushing and basically convinced him that this was the way.
This is the way.
Yeah, exactly. So the title of The Convert, to me, there's two. There's her. She's converting to the New Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And in her sick mind, she is basically super influencing people to do what they're not supposed to be doing. So she can say, oh, look, I found another one it didn't work on. Or maybe mm-hmm. it was, like you said, just a vendetta thing. And then the other convert we have is Bo-Katan, because then after that happens, we cut back to Jiren and Bo-Katan arriving at the New Mandalore, and he gives the sample of the water to the armorer, who then he's been redeemed, because he bathed in the waters. And so at first no one believes him and they hate him, but he did what he was supposed to do, so now he's cool. And I like that they invite her to stay. And she's like, yeah, I gave up the old ways. Well, have you taken your helmet off since you bathed in the waters? Well, no. well, then you haven't violated the old ways, so you are welcome to stay with us as long as you maintain your helmet. And then they're all like, hey, all right, and they're patting her on the shoulder and everything. So it's almost like, unless the next episode is her ripping her helmet off, going like, fuck this, that, you know, she's converted. Like, she's going to, you know, maybe she's going to follow the ways of Mandalore. Maybe she's happy to be accepted and to be part of something again. Because as we saw in the previous episode, she was just all alone because everyone ran away from her, or everyone went off and did their own thing and deserted her in her mind. And now she's back with a, you know, a supportive, like-minded group, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Which she never could have gone to had she not helped Jyn go through the the waters there. So
right. Right. And the thing is, when they were getting chased through the sky and everything, I knew that this was going to happen. I was like, she hasn't actually, when she pulled him out of the water, I was like, so now she's technically bathed in the waters.
Yep.
She hasn't pulled her helmet off.
Yep.
I wonder if they're going to do this. And then, yep, the armor is like, oh, and by the way, did you bathe in the waters? Yeah. Have you taken your helmet off? No. Okay. Then for now, you know, you can leave if you want.
You're good to go with us. You can stay as long as you want. Welcome to leave whenever you want. But
which will be interesting to see if she takes them up on that or if she's like, no, you know, I'm a lone wolf. The other thing that was interesting is that she asked Din if he saw anything down there, anything alive. He's like, what do you mean?
Yes.
And she didn't tell him, she didn't tell them that she saw the Mythosaur. Is that because she wants to let it live? Because, you know, the original Mandalorian hunted them.
Yes.
And maybe she wants to let it live. Maybe she wants to go back and kill it herself so that she can be like, look, even without the Darksaber, I'm the king of all y'all.
Well, I also saw that there was also, I read somewhere, like the return of the Mythosaur essentially was the return of Mandalore. Like that was supposed to signify the return of Mandalore.
But which version of Mandalore? Is it going to be the classicists that, you know, she doesn't believe in? Or is it going to be the new group that she was trying to be part of that all scattered after, you know, she didn't have the...
Scattered. That's a much better word than abandoned that I had, but...
Yeah.
Anyhow, Picard, this is the first episode of the first of the three that they've aired where when the episode got over, I didn't feel like, man, I wanted more, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, it felt like it was meant to be just a, this is it. Cause it kind of sets you up. It kind of ends on a big old cliffhanger, which I'm sorry, not a cliffhanger in the traditional sense of like, oh my God, I have to turn on the next episode and see how this resolves, but more like, okay, it took them four episodes or whatever three. It's been. Three episodes to finally get us to the point of what the main crux of the story is going to be this season.
Yes. Yeah. Picard.
Correct.
What did you think?
I thought it was decent. I still like last. I thought the last episode was better. This one was very decent. No, this is the fourth episode, right?
Of Picard? No, that was the third episode of Mandalorian, wasn't it?
That was the third episode of Mandalorian.
This is the fifth episode of Picard.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is it finally took us five episodes to get to the main crux of the story. And
I thought you were talking about Mandalorian.
No.
But that fits.
Yeah.
Anyways, yes, so Picard, we're in episode five.
Yeah, and we finally, like, it's taken us five episodes to essentially fully flesh out, pun intended, the main villains and the main conflict this season.
Yes.
And I don't know if they meant to do that. I mean, there's only 10 episodes this season. I'm a little burned out in general with shows that do what they're doing with Jack Crusher,
mm-hmm.
Which is it's simultaneously two things. One, it's he is the key that's at the center of the entire controversy, and the villains want him, and the heroes have him, but they don't know why the villains want him. And so that I'm tired of, like, the child of destiny kind of thing. It's overplayed. It's done. Stop it. And secondly, I'm tired of the mysterious visions of ominous portents that look like they're right out of fucking Stranger Things. I mean, how is this kid not pulling a Vecna with all the red vines and everything? And suddenly being able to tap into combat skills that he shouldn't have. So, yeah, we're seeing that he is the child of destiny and that he's having these mysterious visions that either he understands or he doesn't, but he's not telling us and he's not telling anybody else about the visions. So
at the end of the episode, he finally tells Beverly, I think there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, that's all he says. And then, you know, this could be the Kathy Bates misery moment where we get into the next episode and he goes, I haven't been feeling well. Never mind. I'm all set. And we, you know, let him go back to being secretive again. exactly. You know what I'm talking about.
100%.
So this was a great episode in general, where we had equal parts of Worf being his best self, you know, just he's amazing. He's now the Zen master and he's mastered the art of slowing his heart rate to imperceptible levels. And, you know, he's teaching his protege to fight the way that he wants her to fight and to stab him in just the right spot. And then we've got the crew of the Titan, who I was so glad to see that when the captain got command back, he was just like, great, now you're going to get court-martialed. Hey, Seven, do you want to be reinstated or stay unstated? She's like, reinstated. He's like, there you go, you're reinstated. I'm going to step out and let you assholes get your bullshit story together. Like, not that I want him to be an asshole, but I love the fact that this one tragic event did not change him. Like, he didn't suddenly be like, you guys are okay. No, he went right back to being who he is, which is what's realistic.
But here's the thing. This was also the first episode where, like, you finally kind of see it from his point of view. Like, the last episode, we got the story of how Picard, when he was taken over by the Borg, killed everybody, and he barely survived. He only survived, luckily, because he just got pointed at by a lieutenant who said, get on the shuttle, you know. But, like, in this episode, in a very kind of comical way, when the Titan is showing up, or the Intrepid is showing up, and he's like, well, I mean, I'm still Jean-Luc Picard. I still have some sort of pull. I mean, they could, you know, like, look what we've done here. And Shaw's counterpointing, like, yeah, but you also, like, here's a storyline of a movie, or here's a storyline from the TV show. Like, okay, yeah, you did some good stuff, but what about this atrocity? And then Picard's like, what about this good thing we did? Yeah, but what about this atrocity you almost caused? And you know what I mean? Like, I did like his counterpoint to that. Like, yeah, you've done a lot of great stuff, but for some reason, you're a shit magnet too. You know, like.
Yeah.
I didn't remember Ro.
I did.
I honestly did not until I saw the friggin' earring. And then I went, oh. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
I love
that whole thing about her being a Bajoran and nobody trusted her. Picard was willing to. And
I did love the throwback to it. I liked how they still tested each other about things. And they had their truths, their hard truths to each other. And then Picard's like, well, I guess we're not changelings because we wouldn't have all that information.
Right.
And then now they can have a real conversation. And I don't know, like, part of me, when she said, like, you know, Starfleet's been compromised from top to bottom, I went, oh, my God. I feel like we've done this before. I feel like we've had this story before. Oh, yeah. It was Avengers. And it's when S.H.I.E.L.D. was compromised from top to bottom. You know what I mean? Yep. Like.
Oh, and don't forget that we're gearing up for a second one with Secret War, because the Skrull are going to be impersonating people left, right, center.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Those are the changelings who now can apparently have advanced. They can pass blood tests because previously they couldn't.
Right.
But now they've can.
Evolved. It was interesting that Crusher said that they had no trace of DNA, but that they secreted plasma.
Yeah.
You know, like blood. So if they have no trace of DNA, it sounds to me like it's very easy to do a scan for DNA. If you see no DNA, that person's a changeling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like they didn't break down into their a natural form, which was, I guess, the liquid, without very, I guess, extreme dissection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just, I love the show. I'm excited for these next five episodes. I'm so glad we got these three seasons of Picard, and so far this is my favorite one.
Yes.
If I were to rank them, I don't know, but two would definitely be last.
Yeah.
But I'm excited that we have this season of Picard, and that we're getting it, and I'm looking forward to seeing where the story goes. It's obviously going to wrap up quickly, but again, like I said, it's kind of a groaner because it's like we've seen this storyline before. I almost wish it was something less insurmountable. But they do have the reluctant ally in Shaw, where they use logic, where they use logic to convince him to run.
Yeah.
Because he's like, if they were just doing this, why are they going back online? Why, you know what I mean? Oh, there's, you know, like it was, you know, when Ro got her ship got sabotaged, mm-hmm. and yep. she said that there's, you know, her guards were changelings, and so she tried to take the ship out by taking out one of the engines. And, I mean, they made it believable as far as to why Shaw would go, fine, I'll do, you know what I mean? Like, I'll listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what the next episode is going to bring us.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, we've got five episodes left. We've essentially just uncovered the fact that these changelings have infiltrated all through Starfleet, probably through other areas as well. You know, yeah. I can't imagine that the Romulan Empire is devoid of changelings, for instance.
Right, right. No, you're right.
So the good guys and the bad guys all now have changelings everywhere. How are they going to solve this in five episodes? You know how they're going to solve it? They're going to solve it because Jack Crusher has something going on with him that he'll be able to either control them all or wipe them all out. And I don't know. I feel like they're going to have to rush through a solution to this because we've only got five episodes left. And this is the last season. Like, they know that this is the end of it. So.
Fair enough. I loved Kirk Acevedo as Kryn. I honestly, truly enjoyed the petty thug gangster Vulcan who put logic to everything he did.
Yep. And at the end, they were like, you're going to give us the device. He's like, that would be logical.
Yeah.
And Kirk Acevedo is amazing in everything anyway. So.
Yeah. But him as a Vulcan, never thought I'd want to see that. Now I'm so glad I got to see it.
So is that it for shows? Mike's off camera talking to somebody else.
Sorry. My wife was asking me about Wesley.
Oh.
He's
her son. Yeah. Shouldn't she know about him?
Shows. That's the end of the shows.
Okay.
Movies. I have seven. What did we watch together? I know we watched one. Did we watch another one together? Okay. I couldn't remember if we did or not. Okay. All right. So I watched a few movies throughout the week. You say you didn't watch any?
Correct.
So my first, I watched earlier in the week, I think it was like the anniversary of the original version of The Crazies with the George Romero movie.
Yes.
And so I looked it up and it's not streaming for free on anything I have, but This Crazies 2010 is on Amazon. And I start reading it and I'm like, Timothy Oliphant? I don't remember this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it on and I go watch it. It's a good movie, but it's funny because I was talking to my buddy Brendan about it and I mentioned, oh, I'm watching this. He's like, oh, I watched that a year ago. He goes, I know. Cause I'm like, I had to have seen it when it came out in 2010. Cause I like Timothy Oliphant now and I liked him then. I mean, that was the height of Justified, I think. And I know I would have watched this movie. But yeah, I have really no memory besides the one scene of the guy with the shotgun at the baseball field in the beginning of the movie. Even that's kind of like a vague memory. And as I'm watching it, it wasn't coming back to me.
Okay.
So it was a very good movie, but somehow it's also very forgettable. It stars Timothy Oliphant, Rodna Mitchell, Joe Anderson, Daniel Panabaker's in it.
Wow.
Bunch
you
of
said
other
it's
people.
Just called The Crazies?
It's called The Crazies. Yep. Came out in 2010.
Okay. I'm making a note of it.
Yeah. It's I enjoyed it thoroughly. And then I did as like in the last like 3 minutes of the movie, I went, oh, okay, I remember this part now. But then there was something else that happened after that that I had forgotten about. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would you classify it as a traditional horror movie? Like, you know,
no. This is a, if I'll just like the tagline on it basically is that a biological agent leaks and causes people to want to kill each other. So it's not like your typical zombies thing by any means. It's not zombies. It's not like The Walking Dead or anything, because they know what they're doing. It's almost like they're all schizophrenic and they can't control themselves, I guess.
So more like 28 Days Later.
I don't remember that one. I thought that was like a more of an infection zombie movie.
Well, yeah, but they were more like screaming fast, just needed to kill everybody.
No, this isn't that. Like, this is not that. This is more along the lines of like, well, they progress to that maybe. It's like a slow progression once they're infected. But yeah, you should watch it. It was a fun movie to watch. It was almost like it was a pleasant like treat that like, hey, I got this cool movie with this actor I really like a lot that I don't remember at all. And that kind of led me down a path of like, I can't remember if I talked about this on air or off air, but like I've watched different genres. Yes, I talked about on air at the beginning. So like down at the bottom was like, oh, if you like this, you should watch this, this, or this. And one of them was the movie Just Cause. Sean Connery, Lawrence Fishburne. Do you remember that one at all?
Wow, that's going back.
As like 92.
Hmm.
Guy on death row, allegedly innocent on death row, and Sean Connery's like former lawyer, now death row advocate, who doesn't disbelieve in the death penalty, but goes down there to investigate. Lawrence Fishburne's the local police.
Hmm.
I sort of remembered that one. It was okay. I liked it. I wouldn't give it a hard sell. Maybe in 1992, the storyline, maybe I didn't question it as much then when if I watched it then at 13 or 14, whenever I watched it, as far as like what happened. But now at 43, I'm like, well, it wouldn't happen that easy. Oh, that wouldn't work like that. Kind of like how my
amazing how
watching,
that works.
Yeah, my wife has watched shit's ton of Murder, She Wrote right now. And I'll see like Jessica will roll into the crime scene and the police will be like, man, Mrs. Fletcher, you can't be here. And she goes, oh, it's all right. And then she'll just keep staying there and talking. And they don't know, like, get your fucking old ass out of here, lady. No, they just let her keep snooping around. Yeah, so that, like I said, watching Just Cause. And then I ended up watching The Departed.
Oh, okay.
You know, Jack Nicholson, Matt Damon, Alec Baldwin, Leonardo DiCaprio. Just an enormous cast. Matt Damon with a wicked Boston accent. That was just a little too, let me tell you something, Troopa. Just a little too thick. A little too thick on the old Boston accent for my liking in that movie for Matt Damon. Good movie, though. There's a reason why it's a great movie. Scorsese, you know, type of movie's right in his wheelhouse. Excellent film.
Absolutely.
Kate did kind of partially watch this one with me, and that's what I was thinking about. Dolores Claiborne.
Wow.
Old Stephen King movie with Kathy Bates and Jennifer Jason Leigh and on Little Tall Island off the coast of Maine. And was it Peter Cushing's in it as well? Great flick, like really great flick.
You really dug into some old ones.
I haven't watched, like, again, I haven't gone back and watched many of these movies these movies in a super long time. So yeah, I did kind of deep dive on them.
That's cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
What else?
I went to Kiss the Girls. You remember that one at all?
Classic. Yeah.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman, Ashley Judd. He's playing Alex Cross in the James Patterson character.
Yep.
It's his first movie. This is from 97, about hunting that killer. And then I watched Along Came a Spider, which is, I think came out in 2001 or two. Again, Morgan Freeman back as Alex Cross.
Did you also find with these two movies, were you falling into the same, like, well, that wouldn't work these days. That wouldn't work anymore. Or did they hold
up? No, they did a good job with, like, justifying why he was there and why the FBI, he knew the FBI agents. And here's something that was really refreshing in Along Came a Spider. So you have the head detective guy that's there, agent, whatever it is. And I can't remember his name, but it's an actor you would recognize easily. He's been in a shit ton of stuff. And then there's Morgan Freeman. And then there's they have a disagreement of why what they're investigating, why the person did what they did. I don't want to give it away in case you don't remember. One believes it's this, one believes it's that. And so you're gearing up for, you know, the big dick contest for the whole movie. And I'm the one that's in charge of this case and da, 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 da. And instead, like, you get, then I think it's the next day in the movie or whatever, where the head agent guy is just like, hey, you know what? Sorry about yesterday. We're just here to work together. We're trying to solve the same thing. I understand. Let's just keep working together. And they have a very great, cohesive working relationship for the rest of the film. Like, I'm sitting there watching. This is so refreshing that I'm not dealing with this bullshit, you know, dick swinging contest between these two characters through the whole friggin' movie. Instead, they're just, hey, let's just work together as a team to solve this common problem that we have, that we're both working really hard for our different reasons to solve this issue. Let's just work as, you know, let's just do it together. Like, it was really nice. You know, they weren't like buddy, buddy, kumbaya and up or anything like that, but still. And then even like when there's one point where like something happens and you think, oh, this is going to be the scene where that lead detective is going to be like, see, you never should have been here on this, or I never should. You're going back to DC. And instead, he's just like, he does the interview with him one-on-one. He's like, all right, I think that's everything I need right now. You okay? You need to head back to the hotel for the night, or you want to keep rolling on this? You know what I mean? It was still just like, I'm going to be supportive. We're just doing our jobs, and we have our job to do, and I got your statement. We still have to solve this case, though. Like, it was just, I don't know. It was actually quite refreshing.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like it when things catch you by surprise like that.
Yeah, it was actually quite refreshing. both great flicks. I honestly think they both hold up. You and Julia should watch them.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, like, throw them on your list of like, oh, like, I don't know what to watch tonight. Let's put on this crime drama, crime thriller or whatever it is. I thought they still held up really good. Yeah. And again, with Kiss the Girls, I really didn't remember most of it. A little bit with Along Came a Spider. I'm watching. I'm like, oh, okay, I think this happens. And then it sort of did. And then, but I completely missed out on the twist at the end. Like, I had no recollection of that at all.
Awesome. That's cool, too. When, you know, you watched it years ago and you don't remember how it goes, and then it can still take you by surprise like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was a lot of movies. I think that's why I was like, I got to dive deeper into this this crime drama time, you know, genre of movies, because I really haven't gone back and rewatched these. Like, I've rewatched comedies and action and martial arts flicks and horror movies and sci-fi movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably what I'm going to be doing when I'm looking for a go-to thing, is to watch some weird crime drama type stuff.
Which is funny given the work that you do for a living.
Yeah, but it's not. It's definitely not the same. Maybe the reason why I've stayed away from it for so long.
Could be. Could be.
And then I red boxed A Man Called Otto.
How was that?
We loved it. I thought it was going to be a bit more lighthearted and comedic than it was.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it was really kind of like there's a lot of tear jerking moments throughout the movie. And there is some comedy, but for the most part, it's definitely not comedy. It's a little heartbreaking, actually. We enjoyed it thoroughly. Yep, we enjoyed it thoroughly. And it was over, and Kate's like, quick, put something funny and lighthearted on. After this heavy movie, I need that. But yeah, no, it's definitely, yeah, I mean, go Redbox it, whatever, but yeah, watch it.
Cool.
Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks, so he's brilliant in it.
Tom Hanks is brilliant in everything.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. You can even go back and watch his old stuff, and he's still brilliant in it. Of course, him as Mr. Rogers. Oh, my God. I can't even that was so good.
Mm. Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Him as Fred Rogers was just so damn good. But that's it for me on movies.
Okay. And like I said, I didn't watch any. So yeah. All we've got left is trailers and news.
And I can't remember if this was a big week or a light week.
This was a pretty big week in the beginning.
As I'm scrolling back through, I'm like, yeah, this is a big week.
Started off with the trailer for Mrs. Davis. Which
hold on real quick. I scrolled back too far. Short round in Indy. Like I still love that pictures I sent you of them at the Oscars where Harrison Ford announced Best Picture. And so he goes up on stage and they have that big, like, just embraceful hug.
Yep.
And then he's just so excited. And I don't know. It's just, it was such a good moment. Anyhow, Ms. Davis.
Mrs. Davis.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on this?
I love it. You know me. This is right up my alley. It's an AI that basically sees everything in the world. I saw the first teaser for it, and it was basically these people, like just different people around the world saying, she wants to talk to you. She wants to talk to you.
And taking like an earbud out.
Earbuds.
Or an earbud or whatever.
Yep. She wants to talk to you. And I was like, I don't know what this is. So then we get the full trailer, and I can't remember who's the actress. She was in Glow. Betty Gilpin.
Yes.
Betty Gilpin is playing a nun who has been being sent on a quest to find the Holy Grail and is being directed by an AI that apparently everybody in the world is somehow connected to. I don't know if this is supposed to be like the merging of ChatGPT and Facebook kind of thing, or if it's just supposed to be a take on AI growing out of control. But it looks bizarre. It looks weird. It looks fascinating. I'm there for it. I'm so there for it. What about you?
Yeah, it does look good. I'm going to watch anything Betty's in, quite frankly. I enjoy her quite thoroughly.
It makes me want to go back and watch that movie, and I can't remember what it was, but it was the one where the 12 people were like dropped off in a field
and
getting picked off.
Yes, I know what you mean. I can't think of it either.
Yeah. And at the time, people thought that it was like, oh, they're all being sent out there because this is a Democrat movie about anti-Republicanism. And, you know, the whole thing was more about the rich being assholes. And God, I can't remember the name. Anyway, it was a decent movie to watch once. So then I sent you the trailer for American Born Chinese, which, honestly, my first thought was, are we now getting a TV series of Everything Everywhere All at Once? Like,
I don't know what it seemed like, didn't it?
First off, it seemed like the cast from that movie. And secondly, it seemed like a multiversal spanning kind of thing. I don't know what it's about, but I'm here for it.
The Hunt.
The Hunt. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's keep going.
So yeah, American Born Chinese, I'm not fully sure what the deal is with it, but it looked amazing and it looked like I said, a TV series based on Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I'm absolutely there for it. I want to see more, and I'm hoping that it's just as good as it looks.
So this is what I have on it. Jin Wang is a struggling with his school life and his home life, meets a new foreign exchange student at his school, leading him to become involved in a battle between the gods of Chinese mythology.
Oh, that's awesome, too.
But like you said, it's basically.
Oh, my God.
It's based, is this based on a graphic novel? Yes.
Oh, my God. Why didn't I see that before? I read this in college.
And the graphic novel is called American Born Chinese.
Yeah, I read the graphic. I might still have it. Yeah, I read that in college in my class that was on the discussion and dissection of graphic novels.
Yep.
It was good. Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Yep. That's even better now. Great. I can't believe that I didn't think of that. Like, as you were saying that, I'm like, wait a minute. I remember. Is this a graphic novel?
You sent me the news that The Last of Us Season 1 is getting a Blu-ray release. That doesn't surprise me. I actually read an op-ed today from a guy talking about how these streaming services need to give us some physical media releases.
They do.
Because, we got Stranger Things Seasons 1 and 2 kind of crept out there on DVDs. Release in a VHS style packaging at Target exclusives, mm-hmm. but then that's it. Nothing since then. And we probably won't get anything to the whole series is complete. I would love to own the Fear Street movies on DVD or Blu-ray, all three mm-hmm. of them. Cause I enjoy those thoroughly. Right. Yes, they're on Netflix. I get it, but what if I don't want Netflix?
Right.
You know, streaming services go away. They pull stuff off them all the time. You know, so I agree. I think they still need to release these things. Maybe not every single thing, but definitely some of them. Thoughts?
I'm wondering if it would be cost effective for them. You know, it used to be before streaming services that was the only way to get these things to people right. was they either go to the theater or they have to mass produce them so people could rent them, buy them, whatever. Now that you have streaming services, I don't know if it's worth it to them, like if they would make the money back that it would cost them to produce these, market them, especially with something like this where it's like, oh, you watched The Last of Us. You really liked it. Give us a couple of months and then you could go to a store and buy a physical copy of it. Are people really going to be incentivized to do that?
But here's my counterpoint argument to that.
Sure.
Technology-based wise, we are at the point where you don't have to pre-produce all this media and all this stuff like that. Sure, if you want to do a Kevin Smith release with deleted scenes or extended scenes like Haunting of Bly Manor or whatever, or The Haunting of Hill House or whatever, if you want to do extended scenes, commentary, things of that nature, absolutely. But if you just want to do a bare bones release, we have the technology today where I should be able to go online to, I'll just say Amazon or Netflix's website or whatever, and be like, I would like to buy these three Netflix original movies, and they have a print-on-demand service
mm-hmm.
where they don't burn that media until someone wants it. And you get it in basic packaging in the mail. Like, we live in that world where we can have a print-on-demand society. Pro Wrestling Tees, or One Hour Tees, based out of Chicago, their whole business is they don't have shit stockpiled around.
Right.
You order it, they print it, they ship it to you. Expect it to take a few weeks because you click a box saying you understand that before you can order.
And I've seen that a lot for things like art, clothing, decorative mugs. There are a lot of things out there like that. Print on demand is an entire business model for a lot of people. I don't know that companies, again, could have that kind of business model where they'd be like, yeah, you know, we're going to now dedicate people and resources to this. Like they wouldn't probably go through a third party seller. Like your Wrestling Tees probably has a number of different, like Tee Public and a couple of different companies out there that do all their printing for them.
No, they do it all themselves right in Chicago in their giant warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying, though. Yes, they probably outsource it. I mean, look at Amazon's self-publishing. You know, like my wrestling books on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to order them. It takes like 3 to 4 weeks to get them because they don't print them until you order them.
Okay.
Amazon has the same type of thing where people, like, you know, you can buy books off Amazon, and unless it's a huge seller, they don't print the books until you've ordered them.
Right.
You know, you could do a third party like Amazon, who would just have access to the digital libraries of all these movie companies, and they could print the DVD or the Blu-ray, print a slip cover, throw it in the box, and ship it out to you, you know. And but because you know what you're getting, as far as it's, you're going to pay a premium price, you're going to pay $25 a movie because of this is the only way you can get it if you want it. But this is.
But how much of that goes back to the studio? Because now you've introduced a middleman. You've introduced that company that's printing all this stuff. So they're going to say, OK, we're charging your customers $25, but we're taking $10 or $15 off the top for our printing, distribution, shipping, stuff like that. So then the company's like, okay, so we're getting $10 for each movie.
$10 they wouldn't have had otherwise.
When they're dealing in billions of dollars, like for you and I, great, that's $10.
Fair enough.
When you're HBO and you're dealing in millions and billions, I don't know that it would. Yeah. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen. I'm just saying that I wonder what the logistics are of that, and if we will see something like that.
Maybe someday.
Because you do have things like Redbox, where you know people can go and they can rent a movie. And you know that they have to come from somewhere. Like, these movies are printed on the discs. Mm-hmm. They are burned onto the discs for them. I don't picture somebody at a Redbox factory somewhere buying copies of a movie, slicing open the cases, opening them up, putting discs in there, tossing the cases away. Like, these are printed specifically for Redbox.
Right. Like, Man Called Otto that we just watched had 7 trailers on the beginning. That auto played. You could skip through them, but still, it had like 7 trailers before you got to the menu, of which then kind of looked like a standard DVD menu. Because I have noticed they've had, like, maybe they don't do this anymore. I can't, but I think I've seen it recently in the last few years where the rental copy only has the feature on it. If you want all the special features and deleted scenes and everything like that, you need to go buy it.
Gotcha.
You sent me news that Quentin Tarantino is reportedly preparing to direct his final film. I've been hearing that for the last several years.
This one actually has a title and a basic scene. It's set in the 1970s. It's called The Film Critic. We'll have a female lead, so you know we'll get plenty of shots of her feet.
It's interesting to me. Yep. It's interesting to me. Like, he wants to make... And he's only made 10 movies, technically, if you count Kill Bill as 2. But he's directed a few other things. He did a big, long, double episode of CSI that was excellent, very Tarantino-ish. And he's acted in a few things. But it just kind of surprises me that I think he's only like 60. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to be done because I don't want to be like some other directors out there whose last movies are terrible. Because they're out of touch, or they're this or that, or whatever. But so we'll see. I don't know. It kind of surprises me if he actually does not direct any more movies after this.
I think he was saying back in the days of Django that he was only going to direct 10 movies. Like, that was it.
I remember reading it during that then. Yep.
And that was it. It was going to be only 10. And
he did a novelization of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Except it actually read more like the book came out first and the movie was based on the book, because there's aspects that are in the movie that are expanded upon that are not in the book, and there's aspects in the book that's expanded upon that's not in the movie. And do you remember the end of that movie?
Vaguely.
The Manson family break into house and everyone dies violently.
Yes.
That is almost glossed over in the book.
Oh, interesting.
The book is excellent, though. I loved reading it. If he wanted to do novelizations of all his movies or just fucking write new novels, I would buy them. I can get behind that. Because I enjoyed that so thoroughly. So.
Sorry, I just got a notification on my phone that the Pentagon has released a draft document saying that aliens might be visiting the solar system and releasing small probes to study planets like Earth. This is from CBS News 13, so it's not like, you know, the Sun Catcher News or something.
Oh, shit. Yeah, look at that.
Interesting. Somebody says a little early for April Fools. I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out for a little while. And what is it that's really going on that they're trying to distract us from?
Yeah.
That's the skeptic in me. Not the skeptic of aliens, but the skeptic who's saying, okay, if they're putting something out this out like this to make us all go, ooh, aliens are real, what are they doing in the other hand? Like, what's really happening that they don't want us to know about?
I'm going to have to find some articles on that, the real articles.
Yeah. Yep. Anywho.
It doesn't surprise me, though. Like,
no.
Not to go all cryptid, whatever, but it doesn't surprise me. The fact that I think it's very egotistical of us to think that we're the only living creatures with advancements in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So if it wouldn't surprise me if an alien ship somehow landed on Earth or whatever it was, like, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I would be shocked and be like, oh my God, I can't fucking believe it, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
All right.
So as you were saying, we're getting a Monk movie.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been so long since the show was on originally.
Yeah. And I don't know if we need it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't really think it doesn't really thrill me. I know it's post-pandemic Monk because, you know, but yeah, I don't know, it doesn't really thrill me.
I'm hoping that they would speak to that because one of his things was always his OCD and germophobia. And,
yes.
You know, I would love to see how he survived COVID.
Yep.
Maybe it was heaven for him, you know, being inside, not having to be around people.
He sent me the trailer for Blackberry.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know that. Is this actual based on a true story or is there some?
I believe that it is based on a true story. The Blackberry film.
I'll watch the movie.
Yeah. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it, but
nope,
I'll check it out.
No, me neither. But if it's like, oh shit, it's on Netflix or HBO Max, yeah. Angry Neighbors.
Yep, I saw it, so you had to.
Yeah, okay. So we got the news that Willow got canceled. And then I saw some news that Willow may not be canceled because they've already written all the scripts for season 2 and maybe they'll shop it around.
So basically, the way that I read it was they were like, oh, it's been canceled. Everybody's been let go. And then the showrunner was like, guys, we already wrote the second season. We already wrote volume 2. Because there's going to be so much time in between, we released everybody from their contracts so they could do other projects. Because that's the way that Hollywood works, is people have to be free to do other things. So he's basically saying, no, it wasn't officially canceled. We're still on. But the studio itself hasn't said one way or the other. So
yeah.
I hope that we get a second season.
I hope we get a second season. I really enjoyed the first season.
Yeah.
More than I thought I was going to.
Yeah. And he even ended his post by saying the worm lives. So, you know, he seems to be very positive about it.
What's love got to do with it? A friend makes a documentary about her friend's arranged marriage.
Part of it seems interesting, but it also seems it's one of those, like, she's in love with this guy.
Oh, clearly.
But she doesn't know it yet because they're just friends. But then when she sees him going through the process of an arranged marriage, now she's falling for him and trying not to sabotage it, but at the same time trying to sabotage it. So, I don't know. It's one of those that you look at the trailer and you go, I know how this is going to play out. Yep. The end.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You sent me the trailer to Beef.
With
I thought it was going to be a movie, but apparently it's a TV series.
Which seems like a stretch. Like, how are they going to stretch this story into a series?
Yeah. A24
holy shit, are they putting some stuff out, right?
I noticed the lack of the word good.
Well, okay, so they've been around a while, obviously, but they kind of hit it big this year with, or 2022, whatever, because they weren't they responsible for Everything Everywhere All at Once and The Whale?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's pretty significant. Anyway, so this is a TV series about a road rage incident that doesn't last just a short time. Apparently, it lasts days of hatred between these two.
Yeah, and constantly, like, one-upping each other and sabotaging each other. And
yeah, it looks quite wild, quite frankly.
Hmm.
But it's got Steven Yeun in it, and I do like him a lot.
Yes, and Ali Wong is great.
Yep, Ali Wong is great, and I like her a lot, so I am definitely going to check it out.
Yep.
Comes out in April, so like a couple weeks.
I can't, like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, yeah, I'll check it out. I don't know that it's going to be the type of thing that I'm going to keep with.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that already, that it'll be like the first episode and go, okay, I don't know about this. But I could be pleasantly surprised. It could end up being great.
Yeah. What do you think about a Doctor Who spinoff with Kate Stewart and the unit?
This is why I'm glad that Russell T. Davies is coming back. When Stephen Moffat took over, everything shut down. You know, the Sarah Jane Chronicles were done. Torchwood was done. And basically, it was just like, all we're going to – well, then again, with Moffat, it was all we're going to do is Doctor Who and Sherlock. And I'm going to bounce between the two of them. And then when Chris Chibnall came in, he was like, I'm just doing Doctor Who. That's it. And Russell T. Davies is like, you know what? There's a whole world out there based around the Doctor, and this is what made it so good, was things like the Sarah Jane Chronicles and Torchwood. So now he's going to bring in UNIT, and he's probably – there was something that just popped up the other day, and I haven't fully researched it, so I didn't send it to you. But it's something called, like, Doomsday, and it was this woman who said that somebody – the literal death has been sent after, and she's trying to find the Doctor – and she has 24 hours to live. She has all of time and space to hide out. And apparently it's supposed to be this thing that spans TV shows, video games, comic books. So I want to look into that a little bit more. But yeah, this is why I'm thrilled about Davies coming back. Not only because he gave us some of the best episodes, but because he's going to create that connected world again. So yeah, I'm thrilled about a UNIT show.
I was thinking the same thing. That with him coming back, it'll be great because we'll get, I guess, a Doctor Who expanding universe again.
Yep.
And
that's exciting.
Yeah, very much. He sent me the Jimmy Kimmel Live TikTok from a few years ago where he didn't win Best Late Night Show and Matt Damon came on stage to continue their feud. So I didn't send this to you because I got sidetracked and I forgot. I was busy at work when I saw it pop up, but it was Jimmy Kimmel and Drew
Carey or Barrymore?
Tom Brady.
Okay, that's not
I mean, I don't know. I didn't mean Drew, but Tom Brady. They're outside, and they're outside this house, and he's just like, hey, do you think you can throw that football through the window? Of course I can. So he does. You hear the glass break. You don't see it. You just hear it. And then Matt Damon comes right outside going, what the hell are you doing? It's my house. So, you know, Jimmy Kimmel brought Tom Brady to come and just throw a football through Matt Damon's window. So,
nice.
Knock on the Door is going to be on the Peacock on the 24th of March. So, 3 days.
Yep. Checking that out.
I can't wait to hear what you think about it.
Yep.
Tell us about Melanie Lynskey's husband, Jason Ritter.
So, I didn't realize that she was married to Jason Ritter. That's pretty cool.
Neither did I.
But apparently she got him on the show in that episode with the swarm of infected, and he played one of the clickers, and she got to shoot him.
Yep. That's fun.
That's pretty fucking fun. Yep. I love that. I love that he was like, yeah, as long as I can be a fucking, you know, zombie, as long as I'm there, I'm there. And she got to kill him, so awesome. Love little stuff like that where they can let people have fun.
Zachary Levi says we're getting a Chuck movie.
Yeah, Zach Levi's in the news a lot. In fact, tonight he just broke this story that has popped up like 17 times for me essentially saying that most of the DCEU around Black Adam and Shazam was screwed over because Dwayne Johnson has too big of an ego. It's actually, he's confirming part of a Vanity Fair report, talking to some high-level executives, that apparently the end credit scene of Black Adam was supposed to show Shazam being recruited by the Justice Society, and Dwayne wouldn't have that because he wanted to have Henry Cavill in there instead, so that, you know, could set up the feud between them. And yeah, so he's popping up quite a bit.
But realistically, even if they would have gone with Zachary Levi Shazam being recruited by the Justice Society, it's in the extended universe now that doesn't count and doesn't matter anymore.
Exactly. Yep. But yeah,
we've been saying from the beginning
that
the DC universe is fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Zack Snyder fucked it, and he rushed it. He rushed it too hard. They should not have jumped into Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. He should not have jumped into the Justice League before the Wonder Woman movie, before, you know what I mean? Like, and Justice League was essentially just a sequel to Batman vs. Superman with other superheroes in it.
Yeah.
So, he wasn't patient enough.
He announced the other day on Twitter that he's going to be screening his movies at SnyderCon or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him.
Cool.
They're still garbage.
Yeah, it's a Moon Knight news you shared.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Zach Levi, Chuck movie. Sorry. Again, kind of like with Monk, it's been too long. I don't think we need a Chuck movie. Chuck was great.
Yeah, I'm not. In his own. Yeah. There's a lot of great moments with Chuck, especially Release the Casey. But yeah, you're right. It's been too long now.
Plus, Adam Baldwin, you don't really see him acting much these days, do you?
You don't, nope.
Because he went all Nutter Butter and hardcore conservative himself into being pretty much blacklisted in Hollywood, from what I gather. Yep. Like, right after Chuck, he was doing some rants, some tears about, you know, liberals and his opinions, and never saw him act again after that I can recall. So I don't know if he would be back for a Chuck movie.
Let's see here.
But let's see. I assume you're looking
up when he's 61. Holy shit.
Hmm.
Let's see here. Chuck. Well, Chuck finished up in 2012.
Yeah.
And he did an episode of Castle after that. Oh, he was on the last ship. He was the commander. I mean.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's done some voice work.
He was the CO.
Yeah. But he was still the main role.
No. He was not the captain.
Well, he was commander / captain Mike Slattery in the last ship.
Maybe in later seasons he was the captain, but Eric Dane was the captain of the USS Nathan James.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
I feel sad that I know that fact.
But anyhow, he did a couple of movies. He did a narrator on some shit. He was in a movie called The Kid. Directed by Vincent D'Onofrio, about Billy the Kid. Ethan Hawke was in it. Oh, I remember that. It was actually a really good movie. And then he's doing something called, he was in American Underdog, which stars Zachary Levi.
Hmm.
You know, the Kurt Warner movie, where Zachary Levi plays Kurt Warner.
Huh.
He plays his coach from the University of Northern Iowa Panthers.
Go Panthers.
Yep.
So I guess he has not been completely blacklisted. I guess that he is still doing some stuff.
Definitely not as much as he was doing before. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Because I was curious because I hadn't seen him in anything that I can think of.
Yeah.
Sorry, Moon Knight news.
Yeah. It's a rumor, but basically they're speculating that the villain in Moon Knight season two could be one of the Kang the Conquerors, you know, the Pharaoh.
Yeah. I haven't seen Alien Ant-Man yet.
It's no, that was comic book news. In the comics, there were a million different variations of Kang. Remember, he talked about it in Loki. He said that there were so many different versions of him, and yes. He Who Remains is the one that stopped them all and stopped multiverses.
Okay.
So there was like a council of Kangs in the comic books.
Okay.
And you had all different kinds. It wasn't like one carbon copy of each one. So there was one, like Ramatut, I believe his name was, that was an mm-hmm. Egyptian one. So they're saying that it could be possible that we get something like that, since Kang has been confirmed to be the overarching villain of this phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. I it's a rumor right now, but I could see it.
Lance Reddick died.
Whoa. I can't believe he was only 60.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of shocking. Most recently known, I guess, for being the doorman or the front desk on the John Wick flicks.
Movie-wise, yes.
Movie-wise, yeah.
He did a lot in video games. The Horizon video games, he played Silence. And it wasn't just his voice, like they mo-capped him. So he walked on the screen. You were like, I know that guy. Destiny 2, he played one of the NPCs, one of the main NPCs. And he was very, like, he was logged into that game the night before he died. They went back and checked his records. And, yep, they said it was natural causes at 60 years old. That doesn't seem right. But what a loss that is.
You sent me a thing the other day that Evil Dead Rise was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hmm. Well, it's been getting so many good reviews.
It's 96% now.
Oh no.
On 24 reviews. I'm very excited for it.
I'm quite excited for it as well.
I can't wait to see it. It's April 21st, I think it is. 20th.
Okay.
Yeah, April 21st.
That'll be a fun one.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
Julia will not be going with us to watch that because she doesn't like horror in general, and just the stuff that I've seen in the trailer, I'm like, oh, no.
Joyride. Thanks for that.
Yeah, this... Like, I see where they're going with it. It's going to be – it was a Red Band trailer, so
– I was
going
too annoyed from the trailer to want to watch this movie.
I really wanted to like it, but about the time that they were doing the scene with the drugs where the girl, like, blew the cocaine in their faces, and she's like, you're all drug mules now, and they're all just pounding pills and shoving condoms up their hoo-has.
Yep.
It lost me completely.
Yep. Audrey, Lolo, Cat, and Deadeye are four Asian American women who travel through Asia in search of Audrey's birth mother, but it's just over the top.
Mm-hmm. It's another one of these road trip movies where everything that can go wrong does go wrong.
Yeah. It lost me.
Yeah, it lost me at the trailer.
And then I sent you a trailer for Rye Lane.
Tell me about this. What are your thoughts?
All right. This actually trailer came up. It's a British film. It came up on me because it was actually an advertisement on YouTube. I was watching a YouTube video, and this trailer came up as one of the advertisements. And when the 5 seconds ran out or the 15 seconds ran out and I could skip the rest, I found myself watching it.
Not often that happens.
No, it doesn't. And I shared it with you, obviously. I'm not, like, 100% as far as, like... It seems like two people that run into each other and they form a friendship. And he's shy and reserved and she's a bit more outgoing. and they've both recently ended relationships, or he did. And I don't know, there's just something charming about the trailer that caught my eye and made me watch the whole trailer.
Partly because it's British.
Maybe. And it comes out on Hulu in next week, March, the end of March. Mm-hmm. And it's only like an hour and a half long. So I'm going to watch it. Is what it comes down to. It's,
I might check it out as well, or I might wait for you to let me know if it was, you know, a brilliant little charming thing, or if you go, woof, the trailer beefed it up too much.
So, all right, here we go. In South London, in a gender-neutral toilet at an art exhibit organized by a mutual friend, Yaz encounters Dom. A few months later, they meet again in the exhibition and walk through the Rye Lane Market together, bonding immediately over a shared connection and the fact they both just broken up with their partners. And there's more, but I'm not going to read anymore because I don't want to give it away. But that kind of sums it up. The trailer is funny because the guy's sitting in the in the toilet crying, and she's like, are you okay? And all you see is his shoes. Well, then she sees the shoes and the pants outside and staring. So she walks up to him in front of like the art display and is like, hey, you doing okay? And of course, he's embarrassed because, you know, someone's recognizing him from his breakdown in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. There's just something charming about it that kind of hooked me in. And seeing how it's going to be on Hulu anyways, I'm definitely going to check it out.
Cool. I think that's the end of it.
That is the end of it.
Anything else that you've got tonight, sir?
No, it's 9 o'clock, so probably looking at the back of my eyelids.
I'm proud of you for getting this far.
Thanks. So, all right. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our show.
And we'll talk to you next week.